I have to say that during that last song, you were so great at the "He's Higher Than a Skyscraper," but man, you didn't go down for the submarine. So next time, people, I'm watching. Hello, welcome to service this morning. For those who still don't know me, I'm Joe and I'm the youth and schools worker here at St. George's. And that is right, I'm wearing a shirt and a tie. Doesn't normally happen. I only went out the front, but it's just a treat for you guys, really. I want to start us off today with thinking about this question. What is your greatest achievement? What is your greatest achievement? Have a little think. Maybe chat to the person next to you or those around you for a second. Just have a think. What is your greatest achievement? And then we'll do a bit of feeding back. Right, Aled's going to go round and get some feedback. I want to hear your greatest achievements. Anyone want to share what they think their greatest achievement is? We've got a hand up over there.
Oh, right at the back.
Emily Brackers.
Oh, sorry. I'll go Brackers and then Williams. I think that sounds about good. Good order.
Reaching the top of the rock climbing wall.
Reaching the top of the rock climbing wall. That's a pretty good achievement, isn't it? Well, it depends on the size of the wall, I suppose, but anyway.
Achieving my trophy for my dance exam.
Achieving the trophy for the dance exam. We'll have to have a live demonstration later.
Swimming.
Swimming. That is a good achievement. Not many grown-ups can say that, actually. Any more? Haven't heard many grown-up achievements yet. Maybe we're just a very underachieving church. What do we think?
Painting.
Painting. That's very good. I've still not achieved that yet.
Playing with my doll.
Playing with a doll. It's a good skill. Not one that I know of. But well done. Any more?
Some hands over there at the front.
Thank you.
Gymnastics,
excellent.
Playing with my Batman toys.
Playing with Batman toys, great achievement. Oh, Sarah's got one.
My friend and I got lost and climbed Shutlands Low twice in an hour.
Wow. That is an unexpected great achievement. They're always good, aren't they? Any more?
Maybe one more, Over there.
Goodness me, my greatest achievement's getting round here. There we go.
Riding
the bike. Now that is a brilliant achievement. Again, ask me later about my sad history with bikes.
Brilliant. Some of them are great achievements, skills, no doubt. Here's a list of my greatest achievements. One of them, playing music with Ed Sheeran. That's pretty good. You know, he's playing bass, and the main thing here is he said, Joe, you're not bad on bass. This was a long time ago before he was famous, I'm just going to add, but I still think it's a good achievement. Another one, winning the Oak Hill College table tennis tournament. Don't laugh. It is a massive achievement. He was there. Aled was even there. And he's great at table tennis, and I beat him. And finally, another great achievement of mine, none of you would argue with this, is managing to convince my wife, Beth, to marry me. That was probably the most greatest achievement of my life, and I still don't understand how I did it. Maybe you do, actually. Maybe you do know how I did it, because, you know, you look at me and you know me and you think, yeah, of course I did. Who knows? Some of humanity's greatest achievements, you know, I can list loads, but walking on the moon, that was a pretty good achievement, wasn't it? Ability to talk to people across the other side of the globe, that's pretty amazing. And not just talk on the phone, but things like Skype and FaceTime, that's a pretty good achievement, isn't it? To call for someone from you know, Australia. Human rights, it's a good achievement that humanity's come up with. William Shakespeare and art such as the Mona Lisa, which I still don't really understand why it gets so much good likes. The Marvel Avengers, that's a great achievement, isn't it? Thor and Batman, they are totally awesome. The invention of aeroplanes, now that's a great achievement. Just think about that. Have you ever been on an aeroplane? You are in basically a large piece of metal thousands of miles in the air, flying at hundreds of miles an hour speed. That is pretty good. It still baffles me. Sporting achievements, I mean, you know, the things like Olympics and gathering nations together, that's a great achievement from humanity. Being able to climb the tallest mountain in the world. And last but no means least, the invention of Google Street View. What? It's just to be able to see and zoom right in on people's houses. A little bit creepy, but still an achievement. But for all, just want to listen up here, for all the amazing achievements humanity has achieved, there's certain things we can't do. We can't heal sick and really bad sicknesses and diseases, can we? And we can try, we've been trying this good modern medicine out there, but things like dementia and cancer, sometimes people get better, but not always the case. Natural disasters, we can't really control them. We can maybe help prevent them or predict them, but we can't control them. And the biggest one that we've never been able to achieve or defeat is death. Humanity's biggest problem, arguably, is death. We can try and run it, run away from it, we can try and hide from it, but sooner or later, it affects all of us. Now, you might be sitting there thinking, gosh, this is an all-age service. What a morbid kind of subject to think about. Why can't he talk about how he did manage to convince Beth to marry him? But the nature is, death is an issue that none of us can avoid, no matter how hard we try. And it's actually in this passage that we had read out from Hannah. Jesus talks about it many times. It's in this passage. We can't avoid it, so we need to think more about it. This passage in John 11 talks about this theme of death. So that's what we're going to focus on. But I want to say at this point, even though we're sitting there thinking, gosh, this is morbid, I want to encourage you, and my prayer is that when we reach the end of this service and we walk out those doors, that will be filled with hope and encouragement and certain, sure and certain hope of a truth that we will never let go of. So far in this series, we've looked at different encounters with Jesus. We looked at Nicodemus back in John 3, who had that question of, you know, what does it mean to be born again? And of course, he was thinking of physical, but Jesus said, no, it's about being spiritually born again. We had the Samaritan woman of John 4, who thought to find true satisfaction is to look in earthly things and relationships and things like that. We had the healing of the guy by the pool, who thought it needed to go into some special water to be healed. And we had last week the man born blind, who thought that, he didn't really know what to think, really, until Jesus came up to him and said, what does it mean to, what do you want me to do for you? And he said, he wants to see, and Jesus made him better. In all these, I guess, encounters, we come to this truth, this summary up there on the screen. And I want to try something here. I want to say the first bit, believe and trust in Jesus, gives you, and I want you all, each and every one of you, to say a life that lasts, okay? Can we practice that? Is that all right? Children and adults alike, please repeat this. Say it really loud. Okay, so believe and trust in Jesus gives you
a life that lasts.
It's not bad. I think let's do it one more time, perhaps one more time. Believe and trust in Jesus gives you
a life that lasts.
Brilliant. So in all these situations we've seen, that Nicodemus, the Samaritan woman, the lame man, and the man born blind, they come to realize that to believe and trust in Jesus gives you? Yeah, you're a little bit slow there, but every time I say this, you need to listen, okay? You can hear this. So we got these. So I'll just skip this. It's not important. So that is the summary. Right, in John 11, all these people who have come to Jesus, they've realized this truth. But here in John 11, Martha, it's her turn to come to Jesus. And this is no ordinary situation. This is about her brother who's died. It's about Lazarus who's been sick and he's died. And this is humanity's greatest problem, death, isn't it? And what is Jesus going to do? And now we're going to find out. Look down with me, please, at verse 37 of chapter 11, the last verse that Hannah read. It's talking about the crowds, the Jewish crowds. It says, "But some of them said, 'Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? This man Jesus, he's done these amazing things. Could he not have opened? Could he have not saved this man and prevented him from dying? Could he have not have achieved mankind's greatest, biggest problem?'" And it's wishful thinking, really, from their point of view. They have so much hope, but it's wishful thinking. Death is the end for everyone. It's something that mankind has never been able to solve. But Martha, she's actually quite unique against all the other people we've looked at. She comes to Jesus. Have a look with me, please, down in verse 20. "When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him while Mary stayed at home. And Martha said to Jesus..." What does she say? "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." She knows something about Jesus. He's unique. He's special. She has faith. She's a woman of great faith. And she knows that Jesus is someone that can do something. But she still says, "If you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. Jesus, if you'd have been here, Lazarus' greatest problem wouldn't have happened. He would not have died." She understands Jesus a little bit. She knows he's someone special, but she hasn't understood him completely. Maybe like some of us here, we believe in Jesus, we believe in heaven and all these things, but we can't really connect the dots. What does Jesus mean to me personally? What does he mean to me? And helpfully for us, Jesus reveals to Martha who he truly is. Look at verse 25. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" I am the resurrection and life. Jesus wants Martha to understand who he truly is on a personal level. Here we go. It's a test for you, okay? Jesus wants Martha to believe and trust in him because that gives them... Exactly. And Martha understands it. Look at verse 27. She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." She understood that to believe and trust in Jesus gives you... Well done. And Jesus knows his mission. He knows what he's come to do. If you look down at verses 33 to 35, you'll see that Jesus is actually someone who's greatly disturbed and moved. He weeps over Lazarus' death. Not because he's unable to do anything about it or because he's not powerful, because he knows that death is a real, genuine problem. And he knows what he's coming to do. A few chapters after this, in John's Gospel, you'll read that Jesus was beaten, laughed at, mocked, and nailed to a piece of wood. Jesus will become no stranger of death. He'll become no stranger to humanity's biggest problem. Now, here is where I want all of you to listen up. Okay? If there's something you want to take away, take this away. Jesus did something that no other human has ever been able to achieve. He defeated death. We see, obviously, we know in the verses after this, he says to the tomb, "Lazarus, come out," and Lazarus comes out. But in a few chapters, we know that after 3 days of being crucified, Jesus rises from the dead. He defeats death, and he has achieved humanity's greatest problem. He has solved that puzzle that no one's been able to solve. Not any human, but one human. Jesus Christ. He has solved humanity's biggest problem. So actually, you know, if someone talks to you, comes up to you tomorrow at work or at school or anywhere and says, "What did you do at the weekend?" And you say, "Oh yeah, I went to church." And, "Oh yeah, well, church, it's a bit weird, isn't it? It's just church for back in the past for kids, you know, why'd you do that?" "You know, I came to see my friends and my family, and, you know, have a think about things that God said, things that Jesus said." And actually, you can say, "I learned that I'm a defeater of death." You might get a few strange looks. "I'm a defeater of death, not because of anything I've done, because of Jesus. Mankind's greatest problem has now been solved. Jesus has dealt with it." And we can all say, "Actually, no, I've dealt with it. In him, I've dealt with it too." Do you believe and trust in Jesus and gives you... Let's do that again. Do you believe and trust in Jesus that gives you... Because that is a glorious hope, isn't it, that we all have? That is a glorious thing, that even though we experience death, even though this suffering that's going on, and all of that is genuinely real to all of us at certain times or another, we can know this truth, that if we believe and trust in Jesus, we're given. Wherever you're coming from this morning, that Jesus says in his... down in verse 26. Do you believe this? Wherever you're coming, whether you're not a Christian, whether you are, like Nicodemus, do you understand that to believe and understand that it's only God that can give us new life? Like the Samaritan woman. I think this is the one that actually, for all of us, is the most hardest. The Samaritan woman went for earthly things to satisfy her. I think that's what we do. We go for education, for work, for a bit more money. "Oh, that, if I can just get that promotion, I'll be happier. If I can get that game on the Xbox, I'll be happier. If I can lose a bit more weight, I can be happier." And there's always something, isn't there? Some stuff. But actually, do we understand? Do we believe and trust that Jesus gives you
life that lasts?
You're getting better at this. Kids, can you imagine having no more school, and it's the school holidays never ending, but it never gets boring? Adults, can you imagine finishing work, enjoying retirement, and having perfect health forever? It's hard to imagine, but let's be thinking more about this life that lasts, because it is genuinely coming. Now, to finish, I just want to read you some words from C.S. Lewis, the author of the Narnia books. Maybe some of you heard about the Chronicles of Narnia. He writes in The Last Battle, "The term is over, the holidays have begun, the dream is ended. This is the morning." That is about talking about the new creation, about heaven, about the life that lasts. And one of mine and Beth's favourite song by a band called City of Light, which helps us to dwell on the life that lasts, goes... It has these words: "I do not know what I will see when all my tears are wiped away, but I am sure that it will be a world that I was saved to see. And he has said that I will know a joy beyond my deepest hope, a father's love, a saviour's peace, when I am truly home." Do you believe this? Believe and trust in Jesus, and it gives you
life at last.
Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for your word, for revealing to us your Son, We thank you so much that John's gospel, he helps us to understand more about who Jesus is and what he's come to do, that he's come to give us a life that lasts. Please would you help each and every one of us to believe this, as Martha did, to believe even in the face of death that we can know that it's just an interruption, a painful one, but an interruption nonetheless, to a world that we will see and will be with you forever and enjoy a glorious life that lasts. Please help us to know this. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
Amen. Well, we've heard brilliant news, haven't we? And what we're going to do now is actually, sorry band, we're going to pray. Sorry, not right. I mean, you can pray while holding your instruments if you like. But the Brackenbury family are going to come and help us pray. Emily looks very excited and she's got lots of notes. So if you're ready for a 3-hour prayer sesh led by Emily Brackenbury, get yourself settled in.